This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's May 19th, episode 916, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world.
Chrome moves now to the outside. Now he takes second and Social Inclusion goes with him. He's caught three wide. California Chrome right to the outside of Pablo Del Monte. And Social Inclusion runs up on the outside of California Chrome. And now the two of them are heads apart as they come toward the top of the stretch. California Chrome, Social Inclusion on the outside. Pablo Del Monte right on Curlin is closing on the far outside. California Chrome comes into the final furlong with a two-length lead. Right on Curlin on the outside is trying to catch him. California Chrome reaching for the wire. Another 16th on the outside. Right on Curlin can't get him. California Chrome has won the Preakness.
So on behalf of me, my partner Perry Martin is not here with us today because of, you know, his business. I just want to thank the people of Maryland for all the hospitality they've shown us. And Churchill, you need to take a lesson on this. You really, really do. Because these people have been absolutely fabulous. And on behalf of our military and the partnership of Dumbass Partners, DAP Racing, I say thank you from the bottom of our heart.
Man.
Well,
are you kidding me? That guy hates Churchill. Oh, my God.
Yeah, he made that pretty clear.
I read a little bit about why he was so upset, and I guess, like, his partner's 86-year-old mother couldn't get back to watch the race. Like, they wouldn't let her in. I mean, it was something crazy, which, you know, to me, that just says you've got a bunch of untrained security people that are working the lines of,
but I'll tell you what, we saw the 51 movie and saw how the Mind the Bird owners were treated. I can't imagine these two were treated much better. So.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. California broke, you know, people. And what an amazing race. What an absolutely amazing weekend for horses. And I couldn't be more excited that California Chrome went on to take the entire Preakness race. It was just awesome. Just awesome.
It was. I mean, I don't know about you, but we were jumping up and down and screaming. I'm sure the neighbors heard us because...
Oh. Yeah, it can't, you know, you know me, I record most everything, and because I hate watching commercials, and I usually fast forward, but I couldn't not watch it live. I just couldn't. It was so incredible. And Luke, who's my little baby, has learned how to clap, and he was clapping his hands at the end of the race because my mom and I were going crazy, crazy. He's like, yay! You know, he screams. He doesn't really say yay, but he was really excited. He was clapping. Just tears at the end of it. Just awesome. And I really think, I still believe that this is the year that we're going to have a Triple Crown winner. Just without it. He's just so amazing.
Now, what will happen is what always happens in the Belmont. They'll be throwing a lot of new horses that haven't run in either one of the other races that will be coming in fresh, and we'll see. I forget how many horses can run at the Belmont, but I doubt we'll see just 10. I think we're going to see more than 10. Yeah. So.
Well, I did read something that Wicked Strong is making an appearance in the Belmont. And Wicked Strong, of course, was one of the Derby contenders behind California Chrome, obviously. But he is, they're saying he's the one that's going to be pushing him the hardest, I think. And I mean, kudos to Victor Espinosa. holy cow, can you ride a better race than that? That, you know, all they talked about was how slow the rail was and how three was not a great hole to break out of. And what does he do coming out of the gate? California Chrome breaks well. Boom, he pulls him right over to the right. It was exactly the way that they wrote it down. The front runners headed out. He settled them back into third and just piloted him to perfection. It was just awesome. And I think that not enough is made of how great Victor Espinosa has done. Just amazing rides.
Well, he's 6-for-6 on this horse now, right? Isn't that 6-for-6?
Yeah. He is 6-for-6. He's got this horse figured out.
Well, and I'm sure he has his fingers crossed too that he has this horse figured out in another few weeks. He's seen a few dollars in pay. I think he'll be all right for the rest of the year. He'll be able to buy his little energy bars for the rest of the year. Now I think he's good.
And his brother, to see the whole backstory. I don't know if you guys watched all of the pre-race stuff.
Yes, we did. The donkey thing.
The donkey thing where his first thing was a donkey. He's like, now I got the donkey on my back all the time. But then his brother, who was injured in a riding accident, and they think he'll never race again. And just awesome, awesome, awesome to come see his brother win the first two legs. And, of course, Victor Espinosa is no stranger to this because he was on this same path with War Emblem back in, I don't know, 90s, 2000s. So it's going to be... Oh, I can't believe we have to wait 3 weeks. I'm sure California Chrome appreciates waiting 3 weeks, but I don't.
And can I just say, what happened to my girlfriend, Rosie? Kentucky Derby, she's last, and then this one, she's second to last. Calvin Burrell is last.
Yeah, we'll get to those when we get to the picks. Jennifer, what's
Rosie
coming up on today's show?
On today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, Glenn and Jamie are set for a marathon of stories and newsworthy items of Showtime drama series proportions. And the punchlines of questionable comedic value will be coming out as well. In the third half of the show, the Wacky World of Horse Nation pencils in the week's last track, and we'll cross our fingers for a top-secret superstar guest in the middle of the show. So
which,
stay tuned
by
for the
way,
frame, folks.
let me just say, you cannot. A name was dropped into my lap this morning when I looked on the show notes. That, oh, by the way, Philip Dutton might be on the show. Are you freaking kidding me? You can't just say Philip Dutton is going to be on the show and not give me like
maybe
2 weeks to prepare.
Anytime you get a level of Philip Dutton might be on the show, it's a might be on the show. So that's why, Jennifer,
like,
we didn't promote it real heavily. Yeah.
It's like Snoop Dogg might be on the show today.
Yeah, he might be on the show. He might be calling in today. We'll find out. If he calls in, it'll be a bonus. And look, you get to talk to him.
I'm not ready for something like this. I'm a nervous wreck. I'm all horse racing, and then you want me to talk to, like, the god of eventing? Oh, my God, I can't take it.
You can handle it. You're tough. You're good. You're professional. You're the only trained professional radio person in the whole of the Horse Radio Network.
Yeah, but I'm also the biggest fan. That's the worst part. It's like, I'm going to be gushing. I'm going to be a disaster. He's going to be like, I'm never talking to that girl again. And I'm going to want to do a clinic with him, and he's going to, like, say no because he knows me and I'm an idiot. Oh, these are things I think about.
Daily Winnie time. Speaking of big names in the horse world, my Daily Winnie goes out to my neighbor, Chester Weber, who was over at the Royal Windsor Horse Show doing the four-in-hand classes over there. And they actually do a full combined driving event. And he ended up winning it, beating all of the English, beating Boyd Excel from Australia, who's usually in first in all of these competitions over in Europe. And he won it, and was very excited to win it. He's been working very hard with this team of horses that he has now. So congratulations to Chester Weber. You know, the English, the British have been coming over here winning everything, so it was time that an American went over there and won something. So we have that anyway. We have Chester Weber winning over there, and he is now looking very good, actually, to be one of the guys to beat at the WEG. And if he wins at the WEG, I think it'll be the first time that an American has ever won in driving at World Equestrian Games. So keep your fingers crossed for Chester Weber.
My daily, when he goes out to a guy, he's got to have something going on for him. His name is Joe McGuire. Joe McGuire, 59 years old, and he lives over in England. And he is what they call a professional gambler, a handicapper, or what they call him over there, a punter. And Joe McGuire did the pick six over, I don't even know what track, pick six, and which means you have to pick the first place horses in six races consecutively. So he picks the first horse. First horse wins. Second horse wins. Third race wins. Fourth race wins. Fifth race wins. If the horse that he picks in the sixth race wins, he is going to win £10 million, which is about probably $15 million, okay? So we're talking $15 million is on the fact that this one horse, this last horse, sadly did not win and was coming down the stretch. And the final race, Escape to Glory, is galloping down, charging down the home stretch, neck and neck, and loses by a nose. A freaking nose. Joe McGuire. They're calling him the unluckiest man in Britain. Oh, my God.
Poor guy.
Oh, could you imagine? Maybe it was in the nose, it was the neck, but whatever. Second place in the last race. Oh, God.
That is so hard to do. That's why the prize is so big. It's so hard to do.
Yeah. He said that his plan was to move to Dubai with Nicole Scherzinger, which is the lead singer of the Pussycat Dolls. That was his big plan after he won. And afterwards, he just took his dog for a walk.
I guess Nicole doesn't need to get a restraining order now, huh? We're good.
No, I don't think so. I think she's going to be okay. Bless her little heart, she's about to have a billionaire. And he's not a bad-looking dude. I mean, he kind of looks like Calvin Burrell with teeth. So, yeah, he does a little bit. Yeah. So, sad news. Sorry about that, Joe. Just a bad day for you. Can you imagine being that close to $15 million? It's like, oh, how painful would that be? Okay, now we're going to start a segment that I like to call... Oh, wait, no, let's do the Preakness follow-up, because some of us need to gloat a little bit, and that is, hey, we made some picks. We made some picks for the Preakness, and I wonder who won the pick contest. Who won the pick contest in the Derby?
Nobody, right?
That was me. That was me who won. It's going to be a winner, and it was me.
I forgot.
So we move on. I know you did. I'm sorry about that. So we move on to the Preakness, where you weren't on the show, but you did submit your picks, and you had California Chrome coming in first, Bayern, Rosie Napravnik, and then Social Inclusion. And the good news is that you had two out of three. You had California Chrome winning, and you had Social Inclusion coming in third. The bad news is Rosie, bless her little heart, she came in second to last, 9th out of 10th. She was 20 3/4 lengths off the lead. So you got two, a first and a third. So that'd be like 3 points for first and then 1 point for third. So you got 4 points. Wendy picked California Chrome to win, and that was the only horse that she had on the board, so she only gets the 3 points. Jen, what's wrong with you? Why do you do this? You didn't pick California Chrome to win. You took Ride on Curlin, and he came in second. You had California Chrome in second, and he came in first. You get 0 points. Big, fat goose egg. Oh, wait. Yeah. Then there was me. Who picked? God dang it. Why didn't I bet? I took California Chrome to win, and he won. I took Ride on Curlin for second place. Oh, you know what? That propelled me to the top of the leaderboard, and if I would have actually bet, I would have won $18 on my $2 Exacta box. Bad news is I didn't bet, good news is I would have only won $18, so because I only do $2 bets. So I win the picks. Now, my third pick, I chose a woman. And I chose either the female trainer, the female jockey, or the female horse. The bad news is those three came in last. I wasn't quite there with the show bet. Linda Rice, the trainer, came in eighth. Rosie Napravnik came in ninth. And Rhea Antonia came in tenth. So I was way off with the third bet. That's what you get for going emotional. So I would like to crown the champion.
And who would that be?
That would be me. I want to hear you say it, Glenn.
This year, Jamie, congratulations. You won the picks so far this year.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to win the third one because there's only one horse who's going to win the last race. And, Jen, you are not allowed to pick him because you will jinx him. So we're going to stick with you are not allowed to talk about California.
Why do you think I can pick him to win?
Oh, sure, that's why. Sure, that's why. You want to be the one who's like, oh, she's so smart. She had ride on Curlin. Boom. You didn't. Now, moving to a segment, Glenn, that I like to call good news, bad news.
Okay.
I've got good news. My mom used to do this to me. Did your parents ever do this? Oh, I've got good news, bad news. When do you want? So
I can never decide which to pick first either.
I know. It's a lose-lose because there's always bad news. But on a positive note, there is always good news. So what do you want first, the bad news or the good news?
Okay, see, now you're going to make me pick just like I had to do with my mom and dad. And I always wanted to get the bad news out of the way first, so I'll go bad news.
Okay, the bad news. My boyfriend, Wise Dan, right after the show on Friday, news broke that Wise Dan had colic surgery. Awful situation. So I guess he went out for a work and went back to the stall, and his trainer, just Charlie LaFresti, just thought he didn't look great. So they call the vet over, they treat him medically, and he's at Keeneland, so they just put him in the trailer and zip him right on over to Rude and Riddle. I don't know why people use Rude and Riddle so much over Haggard's, which is directly across the street, but they put him in a trailer, they take him over to Rude and Riddle. Isn't that amazing? Do you always wonder that? I wonder why they do that. So Rude and Riddle decides to try to treat him medically, and what they like to do a lot is give him a medication to relax their gut, and then they put him on a lunge line, see if they can flip their colon back over, whatever's going on, see if it can get righted. Did not work. They opted to go into surgery, and they performed colic surgery. Now, Charlie LaPresti, the trainer, said, I don't care if he ever runs again, just save his life. Just save his life. Now we're talking about Wise Dan, two-time horse of the year, who is 7 years old, a seven-year-old gelding. You know, all he wants to do is save his life. This horse owes him nothing, nothing. So they're going to do the best by him. And now, you ready for the good news?
Yes, ready for the good news.
Okay. Good news is he's going to be okay. He came out of surgery doing great. He was out grazing the next afternoon. They've given him a little grass, and they actually think they're going to send him back to Keeneland in a couple days because they said that's where he does best. That's his home. So he's going to go back to Keeneland, and they're saying he can start training again in 6 to 8 weeks. How awesome is that?
Well, that's really cool. And I guess it was a small, it was twisted just in a small part. They didn't have
small
to do
intestine.
Much with it. Yeah, they didn't have to do, but it was a small twist. It wasn't, major. So that's good.
There was a bunch of dead bowel that they had to cut out. I mean, they just basically put it back together and sewed him up, and they're saying a couple of days he'll go home. So that's the good news. Yay, Wise Dan is going to be okay. We got to get this.
We talk about it, you talk about everything else that happened to horses, and you talk about injuries and lamenesses and everything, but colic is still the one that all of us have to deal with at some point or another. Colic is still that one, that you just don't even know how they manage to do it.
And that's what I wanted to know of our listeners. And Jennifer, maybe you can post this on Facebook. And it's a question that I have is, have you had a horse have colic surgery, and did they go back to work after it? And were they ever the same? I had my old thoroughbred, Marche, had colic surgery, and he ended up having two colic surgeries in the same week because they didn't get everything the first time. Well, I don't even want to talk about the bill. But it totally worth it because I actually took him eventing. He never went higher than novice again, but he actually got to go back out and be an eventer. And so that was the bad news. Good news, two colic surgeries in a week, and good news, he ended up being okay and went back to work afterwards. So that's what I want to know of our listeners is have horses had colic surgery, and what has been the future performance of these horses? All right, Glenn, one more time.
All right. Are we going to do it again?
Good news, bad news. What do you want?
All right. This time I'll pick the good news first.
Oh, well, this is good because California Chrome won the Preakness. That's the good news. Let's hear the race, Glenn. Let's hear the race.
They're off in the Preakness. And California Chrome had a great start. He comes out of the gate very quickly, and Pablo Del Monte's the fastest one. He's going to take the lead, and Victor Espinoza is getting California Chrome to the outside of him early. So Social Inclusion's not in front. There goes the filly Ria Antonia. Social Inclusion is in fourth early on. General A-Rod is in fifth, down toward the inside. Then Dynamic Impact, Ring Weekend, Byron and Rosie Napravnik outside of horses. Ride on Curl in his second last, and Kid Cruz trails. And the opening quarter mile is 23 2/5 seconds, and it is Pablo Del Monte the leader. Ria Antonia and Calvin Burrell alongside in second. No excuses here for California Chrome. He's in a perfect spot. He's third onto the backstretch outside of General A-Rod, and Social Inclusion is back running in fifth. And then comes Dynamic Impact, Byron to the outside, and Ring Weekend along the rail. Ride on Curlin is about 9 lengths off the lead right now. Kid Cruz far off the pace of 46 4/2 mile for Pablo Del Monte, a long shot, who leads the Preakness field into the far turn. Ria Antonia, the filly, is second, and California Chrome moves now to the outside. Now he takes second, and Social Inclusion goes with him. He's caught three wide. California Chrome right to the outside of Pablo Del Monte, and Social Inclusion runs up on the outside of California Chrome, and now the two of them are heads apart as they come toward the top of the stretch. California Chrome, Social Inclusion on the outside. Pablo Del Monte, right on Curlin, is closing on the far outside. California Chrome comes into the final furlong with a two-length lead. Right on Curlin on the outside is trying to catch him. California Chrome reaching for the wire. Another 16th on the outside. Right on Curlin can't get him. California Chrome has won the Preakness. California Chrome did it. He beat Right on Curlin, and then it was General A-Rod.
Good news, baby. Good news. California Chrome won. Now the bad news. Sadly, California Chrome might not run in the Belmont. You heard it here. Not first, because it's everywhere. California Chrome might not run in the Belmont, and it's all because of our friends. Today's show is brought to you by Flair Nasal Strips. Just kidding, I wish. Flair Nasal Strips.
Flair. They have advertised with us before.
I know. And I've used them when I ran training cross country. And what it is, it's Flair Nasal Strips is the thing that California Chrome wears on his nose. It basically is the same thing that they give to people who snore. It is not medicated. It's sticky, and it grabs the horse's nasal passages and pulls them open. It assists in breathing. It does nothing medication-wise. And some people even go, oh, what are they? I think they're awesome. I don't think that it's going to make a horse like California Chrome win, but I do think it's a good excuse if he loses. So
well,
I think
a ton of inventors use them. I mean, it's not just racing, you know.
And so the New York Board of Racing does not allow this kind of tack. It's not approved. Now, they do let the standardbreds use them, so yeah, it's total crap. So they are saying that if we can't, the trainer is like, you know what, if we can't use them, we can just go somewhere else. We'll go somewhere else, which would be devastating. I think that
nobody
Art
will
Sherman
watch the Belmont
is,
if he doesn't go. Nobody will
without
watch.
Without a doubt. No, who's going to watch the Belmont? I mean, I think that when California Chrome crossed the finish line, the organizers at the Belmont were as excited as anybody.
Yeah.
Because
we were talking about that.
Really?
Yeah, because nobody cares.
Yeah. It's definitely not as big a race. But, like, you have the entire world watching when the two when same horse wins the first two legs. And then you've got the third leg. And if it's not contested for a triple crown, nobody's going to watch. I mean, we'll watch, but non-horse people aren't going to watch. You know, people aren't going to throw Belmont bashes. You know, they're just – they're going to read the paper and find out who won. So I think it behooves the New York – Board of Racing to allow the flare nasal strips. I do think on the flip side of that, Art Sherman, as the trainer of California Chrome, would be absolutely insane not to run him. But again, they're superstitious. Those are, you know, California boys, just businessmen. They don't want anything changed. So I think
he wore the same suit. The owner wore the same exact clothing he wore for the Kentucky Derby.
That's
exactly
right. I mean, probably the same underwear. I didn't want to ask, but he probably did. And so I do think that it's going to continue to be talked about. I do think that New York is going to allow it. I guess they've already petitioned the New York State Board to allow
this. Yeah, but they didn't allow it with I'll Have Another. They said no to I'll Have Another. Now, he never ended up running in the Belmont because he got another injury, but I don't know.
It was nowhere near this big a story, though. Nowhere near this biggest story immediately after.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, I think that's partly because California Chrome, truly for some because of the story, because of the backstory here, has become America's horse. You know, the owner keeps saying that, and I can never remember his name, but the owner keeps saying that, and, you know, on the TV, he keeps saying this is America's horse, and I really think that he has become America's horse.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think that... You know, this has excited the country more. I can't remember a time. I mean, even I'll Have Another last year or 2 years ago, sorry, coming in and winning the first two legs, nowhere near as excited as this horse. I mean, it's just an absolute – it's taken the country by storm, I feel. I mean, I could be wrong because I'm definitely –
No, I think you're right. No, I think.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, California Chrome came out of the Preakness looking good, and people are super excited about it. And I don't remember this kind of excitement around I'll Have Another. And I think it's the backstory. You know, the rich get richer in our country, and they want to see the little man win. It's the story of Seabiscuit. You know, I mean, he needs to run. And if a flare nasal strip is getting in the way, then it needs to be not a non-issue.
We'll find out. They're supposed to decide by tomorrow. They're supposed to, they're supposed to have a decision by tomorrow, because tomorrow's when he's supposed to be traveling to New York. So I think they promised him a decision before he was supposed to head to New York. But I think you're right. All the people at the Bell, you know, New York's such a screwed up state. When it comes to a lot of things.
New York listeners, please send your hate mail to Glenn with two N's at...
It is. It's a screwed-up state. I mean, everything about it's screwed up. Jeez.
Well, you know, you can run on Lasix, and you can run on all these ridiculous drugs and stuff, and you've got a non-drug. To me, it's a no-brainer. It's absolutely... I mean, put on a flare nasal strip and go walk around, Mr. Gaming Association boss, I don't know, whatever, whoever you are, put on one and we'll see. You just don't snore. And I bet he's a big fat guy that is, like, you know, old and probably snores. I think his wife would appreciate him wearing a flare nasal strip. Now, the funny thing is, California Chrome is going to leave tomorrow, and I wonder if it's going to be drama on the trailer, because he's actually riding with Ride On Curlin. They're shipping together. Yeah.
There you go.
I wonder
if they have
Matt
beers after. You know?
Yeah, like,
you think they're
talks,
like the football players who all get together after and just have a beer? Like,
I think California Chrome's like, I kicked your ass, man. You went down. And Rodham Chrome's like, whatever, dude. I'm taking you down to the Belmont. This is my race. A little long, blah, blah, but you can't handle the distance. Well, I think there might be some horsey smack talk going on.
It's funny. All right, let's take a break here from our coverage of the Preakness. Did you notice I did not play it at all? Did you notice that?
Did you listen to the show on Friday? Because I played it about 400 times for you.
Oh, you did? You played it? Voluntarily?
Jennifer, back me up.
You played it for Glenn. Yep, you did.
Repeatedly at the end of the show because I knew you wouldn't be able to play
it. I think Wendy probably liked it, didn't she? She would probably like it. She did.
She
yeah,
thought it was funny.
I know Wendy pretty well. So how did Wendy do at Really Bad Ads anyway on Friday?
She did fantastic. She did,
she's a
pro.
She loves Really Bad Ads. She listens every week, and she loves doing it. She just loves doing it. So I'm glad she was able to fill in for me on Friday. Well, let's take a break for Omega Alpha, and then we'll see if we're coming back with one of Jamie's heroes, or it's just going to be us talking for another half hour. We'll find out.
Omega Alpha specializes in natural formulations for enhancing equine health and performance, and they know how much personality and behavior can factor in the quality of our relationship, whether we're an Olympic-level competitor or modest weekend warrior. That's why they've created three different all-natural formulas to help us get the most out of our horse-to-human relationship. Chill Liquid, formulated especially for horses with pre-performance jitters, Chill Ultra Paste with the added benefits of B1 and magnesium, and Premare, the hormone balancer for witchy mares, and you know who you are. Look for all of Omega Alpha's all-natural formulas at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
And before we go on, I wanted to mention that Omega Alpha Equine, there's a product, Jamie, that you have used for several of your horses because you end up with rescues all the time, and that's the Biotic 8, which is terrific for their digestive system. Well, they now have a Biotic 8 in single packs.
Mm-hmm.
So they have daily dose packs so that you can take them with you, and it's just much easier to transport than the big bucket. So they do have those. There are 30 packets to each, so you get a month's worth in at a time, and you can take them with you and travel with them much easier. So they do have the single packs now.
And that's unbeatable at a boarding facility. You just can't trust the person throwing supplements to either feed it and or feed the right amount. So I think what they're doing is that's fantastic, and it's very affordable too. And I do want you to know that Biotic 8, Penny is now started on Biotic 8. She's going to get her gut moving in the right direction. Of course, Penny is the most recent
foster horse
that I have. She is being fostered. And I have some good news as well, Glenn. You know, my husband always says that there's more animals when he comes home than when he goes out of town. And
yeah,
I would like to go on record at saying that the number has remained the same. One animal came in and one animal left.
Did you sell
and
one?
I never sell anything. Are you kidding me? I wish I could sell something. You know the rescue dog that I had named Joy? I've had her for a year and a half. Well, she really, on the bad side, the good news, bad news. The bad news is that she really, because she's hard of hearing, I think Lucas kept sneaking up on her, and it would scare her, and she would jump up and run away, and she scratched him one time, and not on purpose, but she gets scared of him. And she also, you know, doesn't get all the attention in the world because she's kind of old and kind of stinky and kind of gross, and we love her, but again, she doesn't get tons of love over here. She gets adequate love and food and everything she needs. But one of my students, a 13-year-old girl named Cameron, loves that dog. Every time she comes over for her lessons, she spends at least 20 minutes petting Joy, grooming Joy, loving on her, letting that nasty breath kiss her in the face. I mean, she loved this dog. And finally, I just said, you know, Cameron, I love this dog, but if you want her, you can take her home. And so she talked to her parents, and Joy is now on trial at their house to make sure they have another older Karen Terrier. So they really wanted to get the Karen Terrier a friend because she, a little older too. So now my old dog, it's so weird not having her here. You know, it's like furniture after a while, and you move the big couch and there's something missing, and I keep having to tell myself, she didn't die. She's down the street, you know. She's alive. Like, she's just not here. Because that's usually when things leave, when they die. They stay here forever. So that's the good. The bad news is she's gone. The good news is she's gone to an amazing home. It's like, they're going on a camping trip this weekend. They call, can we take her camping? Do you think she'll be okay? I mean, sleeping in the bed with Cameron, so it just, the whole situation couldn't have worked out better. So I told my husband, I'm like, we may be up a horse, but we're down a dog. I said, the good news is we can now rescue another dog. And he's like, I swear to God, if there's another dog.
How many do you have left now, dogs, too, right?
We have two dogs. We have Boomer and Zenyatta. So I would love to get down to one.
They're pretty young, so you got them for a long time.
Yeah. Again, if anybody would like Boomer, I could get rid of him, too.
She'd be happy to give away her husband's dog.
Yeah, exactly. Like I told Chad, I said, if you voluntarily deploy to go to the desert and you're gone 6 months to a year, that dog's gone. He is the first thing. Like, you won't even get on the plane to go to Iraq before that dog has had a new home. So.
Well, let's get on with some other news here. Well, we could do it this way. We could do, let me see here. We could do, I have some good news. I also have some bad news. But here's some good news. And that is Charlotte Desjardins with Utopia won the Windsor 3-star at the big Windsor Horse Show at the Queen's Backyard, the Royal Windsor Horse Show over the weekend, scoring a 76.96. Six, they were the clear winners. The closest next to them was Michael Eilberg, who was in at 72.9. So they were a distinct winner over there, and Charlotte is just the one to beat this year. And I'm sure we'll hear more about that from Victoria on Wednesday, who does like to brag a bit about the British doing so well, and she has a lot to brag about right now.
Yeah, no kidding.
And that, we had a guy on the show by the name of Roy Exum, and he works for the Chattanoogan, which is a newspaper down in Tennessee. And we had him on, if you remember right, he writes a lot of articles about the Tennessee walking horse situation, about the Big Lick thing. Well, he wrote another article. Apparently, a group of Tennessee walking horse owners and a group called the All-American Walking Horse Alliance, representing 45 of the 50 states, are going to be descending on Washington in hopes of putting some pressure to get that PASS Act, the good act, the good law that's now in Congress, prevent all soaring tactics. That bill, they're hoping to get it passed, but the difference is they're going to be there on June the 8th, and they're bringing a bunch of horses along. So they're going to be gathering at Union Park, Square Park across from the Lincoln Memorial Reflecting Pool on June the 18th. I'm sorry, it's June the 18th. And so they're hoping by bringing a bunch of the naturally trained Tennessee walking horses along that they're going to get a lot more press and attention than they would if they just showed up with some picket signs. So they're going to bring the horses into the city. They're going to go to the park, and they're going to hopefully get some people's attention. They're hoping that by getting the press involved, that it will get some, you know, get a fire lit behind this PASS Act and hopefully get it through Congress and get it done.
You know what they should do?
I don't know why it doesn't.
Well, they should bring some of the Big Lick horses and put them next to the flat shod horses and let people see exactly what kind of torture and abuse these horses are going through. To me, that'd be the way to show them, be like, this is what it should look like. This is what it does look like. And I'm not kidding you. Once they see that, I mean, it just turns your stomach as a horse person.
Well, apparently the ceremony will begin at 1:30 on June the 18th. The speakers are Senator Kelly Ayotte, who's from New Hampshire. She was one of the ones that really promoted this. Elizabeth Warren from Massachusetts, and a bunch of other politicians. And then they have six sound world champion horses, all flat shod, will be brought in from Virginia and Pennsylvania to do healthy gait demonstrations right there at the park. So what a good idea. I think this is a terrific idea. I think it's going to accomplish a lot more. An interesting piece in this article that I thought was interesting was it's believed that Robert E. Lee's Fabled Horse Traveler Also a visitor to Washington about 150 years ago, was among the first Tennessee Walkers to ever set foot in Washington, D.C. And many years before, Roy Rogers' horse, Trigger. So Trigger apparently made his way to Washington, D.C. a time or two. So that's what's going on as far as the Tennessee walking situation. Let me see what else is going on here. There was a bizarre story out of Bulgaria. And four people were struck by lightning at an event, at an eventing competition there near Schumann in Bulgaria on Saturday. They sustained non-life-threatening injuries, but were all carted off to the hospital. They were standing under a tree during the cross-country phase of the competition when lightning hit. The eventing team coach in Bulgaria said the injured people had been taken to hospital and would remain under observation. And they basically canceled the rest of the day and sent everybody home. I guess so. After lightning strikes a bunch of the spectators, you're going to stop for a while. So they resumed on Sunday. But, boy, you don't hear about that very often. And you think about, you know, horse people were out there all the time. You think about that it would happen more often.
Well, I'm sorry, but one of the first things as a child, very first things I remember learning was in
don't
a lightning
under
storm,
tree.
Y'all go under the freaking tree. Now, I don't know what the situation was. I don't know if it was lightning and they're like, let's take cover under that big giant wooden thing pointing up to the sky. Or they were like just standing there and all of a sudden the lightning started. But as a human, I'm pretty sure that everybody has been told don't go under a tree in a lightning storm. If you've ever seen the movie The Natural, I mean, that's how the whole thing started, was the boy that was under the tree got struck by lightning. I mean, it's like, pick me. That's what a tree says in a lightning storm. So come on, people. Come on. They're lucky they're alive.
All right, good news, bad news. I have one for you. Good news, bad news.
Oh, this is a fun game. Let's see. I always was told to get the bad news out of the way first.
Fire spanning 39 miles chewed a destructive path through San Diego County, destroying 47 houses, an 18-unit apartment complex, and three businesses, and killing one or two people as well. So there have been in California now, they've responded to 1,500 fires this year compared with 800 in an average year. And the governor said that the unusually high temperatures, low humidity, and gusty winds are what's causing it. There's already been $20 million in damage. They have had 5,000 firefighters and appropriated $600 million in battling the blazes. And he said it's not over yet. He's expecting the worst summer that they've ever had for fires in California.
Wow.
So they really need some rain. Good news is Stephen Peters was able to move back into his farm near San Diego, and it was not burned. It was safe, so they moved out of the track and back to the farm. So that was the good news on that story. He is back. Unfortunately, there's a lot of other people that can't return home. And I don't know if you saw some of the pictures and video out of those fires. They were huge. I mean, it was incredible to watch. And they had those fire-nados, they call them, the tornadoes, that are made of fire. Just eerie to watch. Can you imagine being near that and watching that? Just incredible.
No, I can't imagine. I'm one of those people that I'm not the person in the tornado who's going to stick around and take a video. I'm not going to be the person with the fire coming and going, let's get on YouTube. It's not going to be me. I could not imagine that. No. We were given a Clippers to review, and I wanted to tell you guys about these Clippers. They're called Anda's Show Edge, and they're pretty new. If you look up Anda's Show Edge, there's some small ones that they have out there, but these are bigger Clippers. They're body Clipper types, and they're really big, but they're really lightweight. And they come in this very cool silver case. It looks like it should have a handcuff on it, you know, and like James Bond is delivering money. That's what this case looks like. So it's this beautiful silver case and the Clippers inside it. And I finally used them, Glenn. I've used them now three times. The first time was I actually, Penny, this new foster that I have, I just thought, you know, let's see what I can do to her. And I bring out these giant Clippers. I'm like, let's see what happens. I thought she would run to the hills I didn't do any pre-work. I just brought her over, and I turned the clippers on. She was like, oh, my God, what is that? But the noise is so quiet. It is really, really quiet for body clippers. These things are quiet. So I was able to actually clip her muzzle, and I clipped her bridle path. This is a very non-trusting, you know, mash rescue that I was able to clip simply because these clippers were nice and quiet. They didn't get hot. They were really nice. So minor test was the nose and bridle path. So no big deal. So I go to use them again, and I'm like, I've got to clip something serious. But, of course, it's not body clipping season. It's 104 degrees here. My horses have all shed out. So I'm like, what can I shave? What can I shave?
And Chad already has a crew cut.
Yeah, he's already got short hair. And I said, come here, puppy. Come here, Joy. Joy, who is the aforementioned rescue dog, who also very non-trusting, although she has been clipped a couple times at the groomer, but I thought I'm going to save money and not take her to the groomer. She has one of those giant, thick, bushy Australian Shepherd coats. You know, the kind that, like, you can't comb out because there's so much undercoat in there. I mean, unless she's a show dog, you can't even hardly, when you scratch her, you can't hardly feel her back because there's so much hair. And that's the problem with her having her in the house is, you know, wherever she sleeps, she gets up and there's, like, a little nest of dog hair. It's really gross. That's her. So I thought, well, I'm gonna see what I can do. I put it, you know, you go to put a leash on her, and she thinks she's gonna get hit, you know. So she's already cowering. And I take out the clippers, and oh my God, I put them on her back, and I went, and it shaved everything. It just went through the hair like butter. It was amazing. These are the Andes Show Edge. Now there's some small ones, but these are the big ones. Seriously, put it on her back and zipped all the hair off. I clipped. An Australian Shepherd in like 8 minutes. I mean, I didn't do her legs or anything, but I did her belly, her chest, her neck, all the way up to her chin and around her ears. So she looks absolutely ridiculous. I can't believe those people took her home. But, it's embarrassing. She looks terrible. But it's not the clippers' fault. It's my amazing skills as a dog groomer, which are zero. So I clipped her. I took her, sent her on her way. It was incredible how fast and how easy. And I think that going through a coat like that is way harder than clipping hair. I didn't even use, you know, the Cool Lube. I didn't use that till the very end because I have another pair of body clippers, and they get so hot in like 3 minutes that it's hard to use them because you have to stop and start and wash them and cool lube them, and everything takes forever, and you're covered in oil, and then the hair gets stuck to the oil, and you're a disaster. You look like you have a mustache afterwards because you get so much hair stuck to your face. By God, don't put on chapstick before you clip something. It's just a disaster. So I use
now
them.
These?
And so what?
Go ahead.
Now these what?
I was just going to say, these have a curved head on them, too, which is the thing that was really supposed to make them different. It has an angled head. They're not, you know, like most of them are kind of straight.
Yeah, and you walk up to a horse with a straight, buzzing object. You know, this I was able to, like, hold the top and lay it against their skin and push backwards or forwards or whatever. And instead of the other ones where you're having to hold on to the whole thing with your fist and shove, you know, forward, and you can't really get around the body as easily. Definitely the design makes them a lot better. Thanks for mentioning that, Glenn. The third thing was I decided to use them again today. It was a Saturday morning because the weather's beautiful. It's starting to get really hot. And one of my students is fantastic at doing, like, music videos with horses. Her mom films her lessons, and she does these really cool videos. And I said, I want a video of Edward. So she comes out, and we're sitting there, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to clip him real quick. So I bust out the Andes Show Edge clippers, clip his nose. Again, they're really quiet, and he's kind of spooky too. So I clip his bridle path. I clipped his legs, everything, and it took like 5 minutes, you know, and I get him super tacked up. I paint his hooves. I get him all pretty, and I take him out, and he's lame. So it was not the clippers' fault. I get him all pretty. I should have jogged him first. He went out with Jet the night before, I think. I think Jet maybe kicked him in the elbow or something. I don't know. He's going to be fine. But my point is, I was able to quickly just zip all the hair off. So I really like the Andes Show Edge clippers. The big ones, they really worked. I mean, I use clippers all the time, be it the dogs, the horses. You know, Zinni had, like, big lumps behind her ears, and so I just zipped those off real quick. And I really, really like the clippers. They're really awesome.
So a couple questions of that, a couple clipper issues you usually have when you have clippers. Are the blades easy to take on and off? Because sometimes you need the tools and you have to get the screwdriver thingy out and all that.
No, I was able to pop them off pretty easy because I like to sit them in blade wash when I'm done and then get them out and dry them off. And it was super easy to do that and to clean them out. And then, you know, it comes with a little brush. So when I pop the clipper blades off, I was able to use the brush and just brush all the hair out. And I really think the maintenance is pretty low and the blades are really good that come with them. And so they were easy. You didn't have to unscrew them and then get the screwdriver and hold your thumb down and then jam your thumb with the screwdriver because you're having to push so hard down to even tight. Yeah, no, none of that. None of that. They've come a long way since
that's
the
one
80s.
Of my pet peeves about the older ones. Like, man. And then you can't line them up right, and it's kind of, you have to just sort of adjust them there. And
what a pain. I forgot about that. Yeah, I've blocked that out. Those are bad memories.
Yeah, so good. Well, I'm glad to hear that they're I'm taking a look, too. Definitely shop around. Google it. They're Andes Show Edge clippers when you Google it, because you can find prices ranging anywhere from $235 up to $300. So definitely shop around when you take a look for them, because you're going to find them cheaper at some places than others. Good. Well, that's terrific.
All right. I've got good news and bad news, Glenn. Good news and bad news. What do you want first?
Bad.
Get the bad out of the way. The bad news is it is now 6:51 our time here and 9:51 your time. And Philip Dutton was supposed to call at 6:30 or 9:30 your time. So the bad news is Philip Dutton did not call. Do you want to know the good news?
Let me guess. Yes. Philip Dutton did not call.
Yeah. The good news is Philip Dutton did not call. Whew. I can sleep better today. Oh, my God. The pressure, the stress I was going under. My stomach is, I have an ulcer just waiting on Philip Dutton to call, and I kept looking at the thing and looking and looking and looking, and he didn't call. So good news, bad news.
Well, you know, I'm kind of nervous. You know, you know me. We've had this conversation before. I never get nervous about guests. I really don't. I haven't had too many in the thousands of guests I've interviewed that I've actually been nervous for. Carrie Underwood, I'd probably be a little nervous for. But so I haven't been nervous. I'm kind of nervous about a guest we have today on the driving show.
Who?
His name is John Katz, and he's a famous author. He's had many, many best-selling books on the New York Times bestseller list. And Jennifer and I started listening to his books on tape, on actual tape, cassette tapes back in the 90s. And he writes these books about his dogs and his farm life and all of this stuff. And he was a city boy turned into a farmer, and he just writes great books. And he's going to be on the driving show today. He's a big advocate for the carriage horses in New York. And I contacted him. Come on. He said, sure. And I never thought he'd write back. And he's like, sure, come on, I'll talk to you about it. He has had horses, and he had a big, what was Jennifer that he had? He had a big steer or something at one time, and he has sheep because he is,
right.
He has sheep dogs. Yeah, he has sheep dogs, and he has, most of the books are about his sheep dogs, and he's just a great writer, and I'm sure a lot of the people listening have read some of his books, John Katz. So he'll be coming on the show today. And I'm just a little intimidated because we have literally listened to almost all 20 of his books from back in the probably middle 90s when we started listening to those on trips and stuff. And we loved we would just look forward to every time one of his books came out. So it's kind of cool that way I actually get to talk to him today. So I'm a little nervous about that one.
Yeah, I would imagine. I mean, him and Philip Dutton, they kind of go right along hand in hand, so.
He's probably made more money than Philip over the years.
That's true. That's true. He probably has. But less overhead, too.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, you have a commercial to do, and then we're going to go to our song and come back with Leslie Wiley from Horse Nation with the Wacky World of Horses, as if we weren't already there.
Yeah, the song today is brought to you by Diamond D Ranch. Diamond D Ranch is a guest ranch in Idaho, and it is just awesome. I get to go in August. I'm so excited. I'm going to come at you live from there. But the Diamond D Ranch has horses. I mean, it's absolutely beautiful. It is in the heart of the Frank Church wilderness. There's like, I think when I asked how many acres there was to ride on, she said something like a million. So you can ride forever. Now, the other part is we do have other things for your husband, because my husband is not as excited about riding on a million acres as I am, and they have other activities. It's like a grown-up summer camp. It's the Diamond D Ranch. They have hunting. Of course, I don't advocate that, but whatever. Hunting, fly fishing, guided pack trips, hiking, you can pan for gold. There's archery. I am going to come back as Katniss Everdeen and be galloping horses, shooting bows and arrows. I am so excited. They even have target shooting. I can shoot a gun now.
I can see it now as she's running down the paddock on her horse with the bow and arrow going, Boomer, run faster.
That's the great way to end that dog. My God, I'm sorry. I didn't practice enough.
I missed that. It was an accident.
I'm so going to have a braid down the center of my back and be galloping on a horse bareback and have like a bow and arrow and just be like, boom, boom, boom. And that's my bow and arrow sound. They also do photography hunts for those people that like to take pictures. There's, I mean, yard games like badminton and volleyball and kickball and all the fun games that you probably played in high school when they used to have PE. They do campfires. It is so awesome. And it's like I said, a grown-up summer camp. But the good news is you can take your kids. They have a swing set and a play area. They have planned events every night after dinner for your kid. And the good news is for those of us that will be taking a baby that's about a year and a half old, they have babysitters. So I'm going to hand off my child to these people, and I'm going to leave, and I'm going to go riding, and I'm going to come back, and he's going to be just fine because there's certified babysitters there. DiamondDRanch-Idaho.com is the place to go to find out more if you want to see pictures, if you want to find out about the lodging, the location. They do special events. The actual owner built a chapel out of rocks by hand so people can get married there. So it's a beautiful place. If you want to find out more, DiamondDRanch-Idaho.com.
Very good. And I thought, seeing you were going to a ranch out in the middle of nowhere that's surrounded by nothing but dirt, this is Jared Rogerson saying
yeah.
Dirt.
This land's made of work is what this ranch is made of. No amount of money can buy. No amount of money can buy. Hurt is what them colts put on me. Curse is my response immediately. And sometimes I don't know why. No amount of money can buy. It's a hard, hard life. But we got what we came for, and there is no one reason why no amount of money can buy this dirt. Flirt is what she does with me, and it works. She's got a good hold on me, and no amount of money can buy. No amount of money can buy. Give them off our backs, I'm sure. Cause out here we do it like that. There's a feeling that you can't deny. It's something no amount of money can buy. It's a hard, hard life. But we got what we came for. And there is no one reason why no amount of money can buy. The best roads lead. Dirt, it's how I know I'm really free. And I wouldn't trade this way of life for anything.
Well, that was Jared Rogerson and his song Dirt, and that's actually the title track of his latest CD by the name of Dirt. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek. I am here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen is in the producer chair. We are brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. You can find all of their terrific all-natural products at OmegaAlphaEquine.com. Jennifer just posted some pictures of PT Scooter. I know everybody likes PT Scooter updates. Well, she drove him over the weekend and worked his little butt off, and he did very well. But he has a new fashion accessory that he's not really happy about. And she posted some pictures on our Facebook page of PT Scooter and his new fashion accessory. He kind of blames Beaker, his mate out there in the field, for he thinks it's Beaker's fault because Beaker had one first. But PT now has to wear a muzzle part of the day because he's getting a little chubby.
So wait, is this horse, this poor, sad pony that's so bored and doing so bad in this giant field of grass? Remember that? I just did update people. Yes. Glenn posted a video of Scooter rolling in the water, and somebody actually commented on there, that poor horse is just bored in that big, giant, grassy field that he lives in. Like, whatever, you idiot. Like, anyway, carry on. It's adorable. And I love the fact that they're almost trying to fight with each other and bite each other, and they're both wearing a muzzle. Like,
I think they're trying to get it off, actually.
Oh, yeah? I'll get yours off. You get mine off.
Exactly. Oh. I think that's what the plan is, and it's not working very well, and they're both very frustrated about it. And Scooter, when you stop him from eating for 5 minutes during a 24-hour period, he is pissed. So,
really?
Yeah, not good. He needed it. And the grass here right now is unbelievably lush. So it's we really have to watch it here right now.
Now, see that Tammy Schreiber posted about of the Uncle Jimmy's products and the video that she posted? Oh, my gosh. So she played Celebrity Trivia Challenge, and Uncle Jimmy sent her a prize pack. And, oh, my gosh, this mini, it's eating a licky thing. And the video, it's the cutest mini I've ever seen. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that amazing?
He is cute.
Oh, it's so cute. And then there's like, she posted another picture of a horse staring at the licky thing, licky envy. Oh, it's so cute.
Yes, it is very, very cute. We had another one of our listeners, too, that posted it, and Jody. Oh, that's right, Jody. And she actually went out and bought a tub of Uncle Jimmy's squeezy buns, and she said she tried them out on her minis this weekend. We have a lot of listeners that have minis. We need to talk about minis more often. After one treat, all I have to do is start to open the package, and I have a barn full of beggars. Isn't that what we said on Friday or last Wednesday when we had Uncle Jimmy on? You just crinkle the wrapper and they all come running. Well, she's got everybody running now. She says that everybody loves them there at the farm. So she tried them out as well. So thank you to Uncle Jimmy for continuing to support our shows. We really appreciate that. And there's somebody else that supports us by showing up here. She shows up
unlike
here every
Philip
Monday.
Dutton. Hello.
Yeah, unlike Philip Dutton, who doesn't show up.
Horses, the ultimate frontier. These are the adventures of Horse Nation. Its weekly mission to explore strange equestrian behaviors and to exploit horse humor in the wacky world of horses.
That's right. It is time for the Wacky World of Horses with Horse Nation. And Leslie Wiley is joining us. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning. That intro never gets old. I love it.
It makes you sound grandiose, doesn't it? Like,
yeah.
Very important. Well, we want to know what
you
did with Philip Dutton.
Not important
you
or grandiose.
You sabotaged our interview with Philip Dutton this morning, didn't you? You sabotaged it. We had an interview with Philip Dutton. He never called, and we figured it's your fault.
My fault? What?
Leslie, let me just say that I sit down this morning to start the show, and there is a note in the scheduling that says Philip Dutton, 9:30. I just about had a heart attack. I'm not prepared mentally at 5 in the morning to see Philip Dutton's name on the show notes, and so I was actually pretty happy when he didn't call in. So I don't think it's sabotage. I think he did a good thing.
You Well, you're welcome, I guess. I don't.
That was a nervous wreck. Thank you.
I told her not to be nervous. It's just Philip Dutton. I mean, geez, right?
Yeah, just the greatest event writer in the country. No big deal.
Yeah, no big deal.
Well, what do you got for us? You know what you did on your first story, and we talked about this last week. But I'd be interested to hear what kind of reaction you got to it. We posted the video of the Budweiser Clydesdale hitch having a wreck, and we talked about it on the show last week and how incredible a job that the crew did, helping to get them all untangled from the hitch and the harness and all the broken parts. So what kind of reaction did you get from your Horse Nation fans on that?
It was huge. You know, I knew as soon as I saw the video, one of our writers, Lauren Jackson, did a post about it. And as soon as I saw the video, I was like, oh, the people are going to love this one because they love Clydesdale. They love their Budweiser Clydesdales. And so it's like, this is like the perfect storm of just like the perfect viral video is, you know, the Budweiser Clydesdales, and it's a story of peril. And it's a story of, you know, like overcoming peril and you know, just good training and everybody did their part and had done their homework so that when that situation came up, it was, you know, everyone was safe, everyone was fine.
Now I got to tell you it was incredible. We haven't seen it. Just head over to horsenation.com and scroll down, you'll see it. You usually get 3,000-5,000 hits on a post. 318,000 views. I mean, you were happy you put that video up.
Yeah, it certainly attracted a lot of attention.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean
to interrupt. I think that's actually our number one viewed post of all time. I mean, of all time, like over the 2.5 years we've existed. But
wow. That's incredible. It was incredible. I was reading the comments here, and I agree with most of them. I disagree with some of them, maybe it's just me. But you know, there were a lot of comments about how good the crew was and how quiet the horses were, and they were incredibly quiet, waiting to get untangled from this mess, especially that last one. But there were some comments about Bob Tallman was one of the announcers. And I do like listening to his voice. I think Bob Tallman is good at rodeos and things. But I thought I just was so sick of them by the time this was done. I just didn't like what they were saying during the thing. Maybe it's just me. Were you bugged by the announcers?
I don't know. I guess I just can't really fault anybody for how they react in a panic situation. I don't know what I would be. I know I would not be keeping it together at all. I probably would. I don't know what I would have done in that situation, you know. So I don't know.
Yeah, that's what when I'm reading the post, so that's the thing that caused the most controversy, but not anything
right.
else. Everybody loved the handlers. Everybody loved how the horses were so calm and quiet, and then the talk about the announcing was what
right.
had most comments.
Hey, you guys, I just wanted to let you know that I had a screaming child, and I picked him up, and he is dripping wet in pee. So I'm going to go.
Okay.
Leslie, you should totally have kids. This is all worth it. I'm telling you. I love it. So I'm going to sign off. Spay, neuter, geld.
Okay.
You guys have a great day. Thank you, and I'll talk to you again soon. Once I picked him up, now I'm dripping wet. So I got to change, too. So fun.
Right.
Love you guys.
All right. We'll talk to you on Wednesday.
All right. Bye.
Bye, Jamie.
Well, now, so it looks like you're co-hosting the rest of the show here, Leslie.
Okay.
Down to you. Yes, incredible. 318,000, and this thing made the rounds. I think I saw it on everybody's Facebook page that has Facebook. But, you know, we've owned draft horses before, and they are just like that. They're amazing, amazing, patient, just docile animals for the most part. We have never had any that really caused, you know, any grief or trouble. They tend to just stand there and wait for their human to handle the situation.
Which is amazing because they're so big and they're so powerful. And I think if I was that size, I would just take matters into my own hands all the time. Like, the grass looks greener on the other side of the fence. I guess I'll just mow the fence down, you know. But they don't, or I don't feel like working today, so I'm just going to plant my feet and, like, you know, there's nothing a tiny human can do to force these horses to make them do anything. And it's just through the generosity of their spirit that they are so gentle and cooperative and trusting, you know, in situations like this.
Definitely, definitely. Very good. Well, and you had some other posts as well.
Oh yes. We always have many other posts. we did, the Preakness was this weekend, and I think the Preakness every year, it cracks me up. Not the race itself, but just all the hoopla that surrounds, it is a race like I think any, no other race in the United States. It's kind of a big party. Have you ever actually been to the Preakness?
No. I have not, but judging by the looks of the infield, it looks like a frat sorority party gone wrong.
Yeah, I've only experienced it through YouTube videos, but it's crazy. You know, it's part music festival. I think they had Lord was headlining this year's music festival. They have, people just get out there and then they just drink all day. And just engage in these sort of terrible behaviors, and they have the most ridiculous traditions, the annual porta potty run. Have you seen that one? Have you heard about that
running
one?
Across. We posted a video of that on Friday of them all running across the top of the porta potties, all lined up.
Oh yeah, while people are pelting them with full beer cans. So
can you imagine
that's
nasty. That infield is when they're done.
Oh my gosh.
The poor crew has to clean that up.
Yeah. It's got to be disgusting. Yeah, they're just out there all day long.
I got to tell you, I was looking also at some of your other posts, and the polo rider who falls off, that was an incredible video. And he's playing polo. They're at a full gallop like polo players always are. And his horse flips, his feet go out from underneath, and the horse falls on his side. They both, the rider and the horse, slide about, 20 feet on the turf? I mean, they just slide about 20 feet. Horse gets up, rider's back on, and they're off. Polo players are tough.
It's crazy. Yeah, and they're right back in the hunt. All within, I timed it. It was like less than 4 seconds that all of this happened. The horse went down, they slide. The horse gets back up, the rider jumps back on, and then they're back galloping off after the ball. Incredible.
Yeah, this is polo. There's no vet checks. You just play.
No.
It's not like endurance where you have to stop for the vet checks.
Right.
And then another one you had, you always get a lot of response to your Craigslist postings, and we do that every Friday, and people love that segment. It's a favorite segment that people do. But you got a lot of response. You got almost 6,000 views to last one. And I think it was because of the warm blood stud named Booger.
Oh yeah. Now I don't even think that is a real ad. I'm pretty darn sure that somebody just, you see that it happens, and it seems like it's happened a lot in the last year. People putting up sort of crank, Craigslist ads. Like what were some of the other ones? Like there was a unicorn that popped up last year.
Oh, and there's the baby lap giraffes, which Jamie tried to buy one, but she couldn't get one.
Actually emailed about the unicorn. Like how many?
And did it show up in
very the
serious GPS
questions.
Deliver
Never heard
it?
Back from them. Never heard back from them. Yeah. No, so somebody posted this ad last week, Warm Blood Stud. Booger is a 17 three-hand, six-year-old Irish Sport Horse warm-blood cross imported from Germany as a yearling. He has the scope and movement to be a top-of-the-line hunter, currently doing 3-6 like it's nothing, asking 40K, stud fee 3K. And now, I mean, you know, that could be, that's plausible, but then they put a couple pictures in, and one, the two pictures are clearly not even the same horse. And two, and one of them is this horse over jumping a jump so big that the horses, the riders have popped out of the saddle. And the other one is this horse kind of clunkily jumping over a tiny jump. And they're not the same horse. And in fact, when we posted this on Facebook, someone posted in the comments that they recognized the horse in the first picture, that it was a horse at their barn.
You wonder how often that happens. You know what surprised me is we've been doing this Really Bad Ad segment for 2 years. We probably make fun of 10 to 15 ads on a Friday that and they're all horse people that we've never heard from someone, you know, that someone hasn't heard in their ad and been totally insulted and sent me flaming emails. I'm expecting that someday, except you'd be so embarrassed. You wouldn't even want to, right?
Oh, right, right.
I always wondered who was going to be the first one. I got a prize for the first one that is actually one of our ads that we make fun of. I'll give him a prize. Hey, I got something for you.
What have you got?
I got a place for sale. You know what? Your eventing career is going so well, and you are at such a high level now that you really need to move to England to, you know, practice, because that's where all the good eventers go, right?
Go
to Britain.
You're right.
Yeah.
I do need to
they
move
do.
To
well,
England.
I got a place for you to go to, and you got to have a place to live when you go there, right? And you got to have a place to train your horses. Well, this just came up for sale. It's Robert Sangster is the guy's name, and he is in the racing business. And he has this little 2,000-acre place near Marlborough in Wiltshire. I have no idea where that is. And but now it's a little 2,000-acre estate, and it has a 200-year-old manor house and 24 cottages and 10 apartments. On this estate. So you get to own the whole town, basically. It is very, very impressive. It has a square barn. So there's this big courtyard. There's this big courtyard with a dirt track in the middle of the barnyard because it's square. The stalls will go all the way around. It's made of brick, and it has the spires and the whole thing. Just picture England, right? 200-year-old England. And then it has this big, you know, an elaborate light pole in the middle of the square, and oh by the way, it also let me see what else. It's 1,600 acres of farmland, so you'll have plenty of hay. You won't have to worry about hay ever again. And the house is un-freaking believable. I mean, it's just one of those, you know, old English manor houses with the unbelievable kitchen and the 12 bathrooms and, you know, the whole thing. So for that, what would you pay for that?
What would I pay for it? What could I pay for it?
Now, what would somebody pay for it? You and I would pay $10. But what would somebody pay for it?
Like, I have $400. No. Oh, goodness. I mean, several million dollars, right?
Yep, $35 million. You can have this place all to yourself, and all 2,000 acres. It is absolutely stunningly beautiful. We've talked about some of the famous places that have gone up for sale before. Jennifer, the link's in the show notes at the bottom there. You can put a link to it on our Facebook page, but it is just unbelievable. It is really cool. That one's up for sale. So there you go. Anybody looking, you can take that home with you. And then I got one other thing. There's a movie coming out, and have you ever heard of the horse by the name of Beautiful Jim Key?
I haven't.
Jennifer knew this name, and I was surprised. Apparently, this was a trick horse back in the early 1900s. It was trained by this guy by the name of Dr. William Key. he was a former slave and a Civil War veteran. He was also a patent medicine salesman, you know, snake oil salesman back then. And he was a horse whisperer and a self-taught veterinarian.
Uh-huh.
So you picture a former slave coming out of the Civil War. He fought in the Civil War, and he taught himself all this stuff. Well, he had this horse that he called Beautiful Jim Key, and he did tricks with this horse, and he claimed that it was the world's smartest horse. He could read, he could write, he could do arithmetic for numbers below 30. He also claimed that he could cite Bible passages. And apparently he hired a guy by the name of Albert Rogers, a one-time promoter for the Barnum, P.T. Barnum Circus, and they went on the road, and they went all over the place. He became very popular, and he was one of the most popular things at the 1904 St. Louis World's Fair, at the exposition there. He was one of the most popular things there, became very famous. Well, they're making a movie about him, and Morgan Freeman has signed on to be the trainer guy, to be Dr. William King. So it's going to be a major movie. Morgan Freeman's movie company is making it. And they didn't say when it should be coming out, but they're putting it together. I just think, well, another fun horse movie.
Yay! What is the year of the horse? So.
Yeah, that's right. They traveled in a special railroad car that was made just for them and the horse. They traveled together in the railroad car. And apparently the big key to this guy was that he was the first natural horseman. He trained without using a whip. He was very gentle and patient with the horse, and that's mm-hmm. what he was known for, is his patience with this horse and training horses. He was known as really the first horse whisperer and first natural horseman. And his humane training methods brought a lot of attention as well. Because in those days, you know, people were using horses for transportation, and they didn't use the kindness training methods. And he was mm-hmm. known for his kindness and patience. And it should be interesting to see how they do this movie and how it comes out. But that should be coming out in the next year or two.
Wow, that's really great. You know, there's so many horse stories, incredible tales about horse bull in their lives and these special horses, that it's great that, you know, they're not just getting lost to history, that somebody's taking an interest in bringing them back to life and sharing them. So that's exciting.
And I think, too, there are a lot of these movies come out and don't get much attention, but, having a big star in it certainly helps, mm-hmm. and Morgan Freeman in it, he certainly is going to help, especially with him playing the leading role. Mm-hmm. I really can't wait to see that. That should be a lot of fun. Yeah. So that's coming out too. There, you need to do an article on that. Not only do you help us out on Mondays, I give you at least one good idea for article every Monday.
You do. You give me all sorts of good ideas.
Well, we appreciate
you joining
us.
Going on.
That's right. Well, thank you so much. HorseNation.com is the website. Leslie Wiley joins us every Monday at 10 o'clock, and we certainly appreciate you being here. Thanks a lot, Leslie.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Well, tomorrow we have on taps the Certified Horsemanship Association will be with us tomorrow for their monthly visit and talking all about training. And then later on, am I right there, Jennifer? That's right. Yep, Certified Horsemanship Association. I'm right about that, right?
I get all geeky.
Am I right about that?
Yes, you are correct. I love that show.
Okay.
I get all geeky and horse
training. Yes, that's right. So they'll be here, and then Wednesday we'll be back live. We have the Celebrity Trivia Challenge coming up on Wednesday. And then also, we have coming up here. Oh, you know what? We're starting something new coming up, too, on Thursday, and that's we're working with the people from Seasoned Rider Magazine, and they're going to be joining us. I didn't even know there was a Seasoned Rider Magazine, but they're going to be joining us and doing a special episode every month for the riders over the age of 40, so which is probably, judging by Facebook, it's probably most of our audience. So yes, they're going to be joining us once a month as well. So we got lots of cool things going on here at Horses in the Morning. In case you haven't noticed, Jamie's only doing Monday, Wednesday, and Friday because of the child and all those her obligations there at the farm. So I think we've replaced almost every Tuesday and Thursday now with special episodes that are happening every month. I think we have a terrific lineup. I don't know about you, Jennifer, but I just think it's a good variety and a terrific lineup of special co-hosts now.
Yep, lots of fun.
I look forward to working with each and every one of them. So now we're back live. I think there'll be very few days of a month that we're not live now. So Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. Eastern, you can join us almost every day. Well, I think we're going to wrap the show here. Don't forget to download the app. Get it at the App Store, and you can just go to the App Store on your iOS or Android phone and search for Horse Radio Network. Another thing, if you are not an auditor yet of the Horse Radio Network, and it costs as little as a dollar a month to contribute to that to the cause and help grow the Horse Radio Network, you should be. Because the first blooper reel came out yesterday, over the weekend, and it was it was 16 minutes of bloopers from one particular show, Helene and I on Stable Scoop. Next month we'll have we'll throw some of the other hosts under the bus, but it was time to throw Helene under the bus this. And, you know, I was thinking about it. Well, that's been the longest-running show, so we have a lot of bloopers from it. And we screw up the most. So that's the other reason that there's a lot of bloopers from it. And if you want to chuckle, we've had lots of good comments on that. And you want to, that's exclusively for auditors of the Horse Radio Network. And if you want to become an auditor, just go to horsesinthemorning.com and click on the banner in the middle of the page. As I said, it's as little as a dollar a month, and you're helping support the host and the growth here of the Horse Radio Network. We appreciate everybody that's done that, and we hope you have enjoyed the first blooper episode exclusively for the auditors. That's it. We'll be back again tomorrow morning here live on Horses in the Morning. Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you for getting our guest to call in today. Appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem.
I'm sure something came up. You know, with the big-name riders, you have to count on them not showing up in case something did come up. We'll try and get them on another time. That's it. Have a great day, everybody. Be safe. Bring your helmet.